It's 2021 and it's hot to hate coal, the dirtiest fossil fuel.
The era of coal is ending.
We need to consign coal to history and make clean energy our future.
We will strictly control coal-fired power generation projects.
But 2 years after these pledges, global capacity is still on the rise. And the main reason? A coal spree in China. New data from Global Energy Monitor shows China added 47 gigawatts of new coal capacity last year. Other countries were building more too, but China added more than double that from the rest of the world combined. Meanwhile, countries like the UK and the US shut down coal plants, although closures slowed after leaders were spooked by the energy crisis. That means that total coal power capacity is still growing, just as it's supposed to be plummeting if those leaders are going to stick to their promises. And the UN climate chief is worried they may not.
So, 2 years to save the world. It's not enough to invest in clean energy and resilient infrastructure without measures that also speed up the decline of fossil fuels.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Well, what in the world is all of that about? Well, when I was at CPAC, I was introduced by a mutual friend, to a guy named Jonathan Bass. And as he started to talk, I realized I hardly knew what he was talking about. Now, I've had a fair amount of experience talking about shale and looking for shale. I interviewed some of you who are longtime listeners might remember a long interview I did with a Wall Street Journal reporter who was talking about the history of shale and fracking and all of that. It was absolutely fascinating. My father used to work in the oil fields. He was a roughneck. He was at the end of the totem pole, not the top. But this stuff is really interesting, and it's things that you and I should know. So today is a brain stretcher, okay? Jonathan is an absolutely delightful guest, and he has to teach me because my learning, if he gets started, I can't understand hardly anything he's saying because he's so steeped in the whole idea of energy and its implications in the world and its importance to different countries and its importance as a strategic partner. It creates alliances and it creates divisions because of the way it's used. He is in the business of developing liquid natural gas and exporting it. And so when he first told me that he was the chairman and founder of Argent LNG, I had no idea what he was talking about, so it's kind of funny. So don't be afraid that you won't understand, because I'm the student here, and he's the teacher, and that's what we'll talk about. Well, this is Sandy Rios and Sandy Rios 24/7, and we love hearing from you. Love it. So call us and leave a message at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. Love reading what you write, sandy@afr.net. You can find us on any social media platform that you like, because we all have our favorites. And some of us, you know, anyway, we're there. And you can find the show and other things that might be interesting to you. Also, you can listen to the show at sandyrios.com. That's the website. And that's really simple. But of course, we're on any podcast platform that you prefer, Spotify, Apple, Amazon's, whatever you listen to. And you can also listen, of course, on our home base, which is home base for many of you on the American Family Radio Network. It's afr.net, afr.net. Well, when a woman experiences an unplanned pregnancy, she often feels alone and afraid. So many times her first response is to seek out an abortion. But because of the generosity of listeners like you, that search may lead her to a preborn network clinic where she will choose life, not just for her baby, but for herself. Preborn offers God's love and compassion to hurting women and then provides a free ultrasound to introduce them to the life growing inside them. This combination brings the ultimate miracle of life to life, which is why preborn sees an average of 200 babies saved every day. Meet some courageous women who choose life. Here's a courageous woman who chose life. Her name is Maddie. Maddie was in a tough situation and she wasn't sure who the father was. But after receiving counseling, prayer, and a free ultrasound at Preborn Network Clinic, everything changed. Maddie discovered she had twins and found the strength she needed to choose life. Her sorrows turned to joy. And that's because of you. And so that's Maddie's story. We're going to bring you some other stories in upcoming podcasts. Your tax-deductible donation, $28, provides one ultrasound. And, of course, you can, you know, give any multiple of that, any multiple whatsoever. All you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. Some of you are regular givers to Preborn. I know that because they see the numbers and they know that my listeners really do care. And so it's preborn.com/Sandy. If you're a new listener or you've never given before, it's really simple. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. All right, so this is what we're talking about today. It's liquid natural gas and the use of it, the importance of it. And I don't look, I don't have a position on what's better. I do know that I don't believe in man-made global warming. That's the one thing I'm sure about. And I'm not worried about coal. Clean coal, as I understand it, is good. So that's my personal position. So I'm not embracing anything that's said here, or because I don't know enough about it to have a strong opinion. So I just want to make clear, but I found this is really interesting. And I really, Jonathan was just a delightful person in every way. And we had a great conversation. So stay tuned for today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something. All right, my next guest is a new face to me. I just met him a few minutes ago through a really good friend. Jonathan Bass is the chairman and CEO of Argent LNC.
LNG.
LNG. Okay, I can't read my way. Argent LNG. His emphasis is on energy. He knows a lot about it, the importance of it, the worldwide use of it, the lack of it, all of those things. And so we're just going to jump right in. Without research on my part, Jonathan, because this is a fascinating subject to me.
So it's very interesting. I started in the LNG business about a year and a half ago.
What is LNG?
Liquefied natural gas.
Oh, of course. Okay.
So it was trying to displace the Iranian gas that was going into Turkey. And I couldn't find any U.S. suppliers that would be willing to supply Turkey with gas. So I finally had to find my own project to develop LNG export for countries of shared values where we want to displace the blood supply to the heart of the Iranian regime. And I found a location in Port Fourchon, Louisiana, that had gone into what's called pre-filing at FERC. And took it over, started it in September of 23, got into the gas business and started to see what was going wrong with our energy flows. As I went through the process, I found that we were really squeezing countries, pushing them into coal and not offering them energy as a baseload supply to build factories to keep China in the manufacturing business. And as I got through it, and I started to really dig in to why these countries weren't being allowed to buy US LNG, which was natural gas, it really became apparent to me that it was something coming from above. And so I decided in February to sign my lease with the Port of Fourchon, which is a state port. And I was in Houston. And in the middle of meeting with my lawyers, Joe Biden paused the export of LNG to any non-FTA country, which was non-free trade agreement countries, which meant all of Europe. Any country that didn't have, there's only 26 countries that have free trade agreements, like Israel, Morocco, Bahrain, countries that necessarily didn't need U.S. LNG, and he paused all sales to all countries that actually did need U.S. LNG. So from that point, it became apparent that I needed to seek where would D.C. go on this subject. So I flew to D.C. and I met with the speaker. I met with Chairman Mike McCaul, Chairman
this
Westerman.
When Biden was still president, so
correct.
McCarthy.
No, it was
Johnson. Already?
Johnson.
Okay.
Johnson, Speaker
okay.
Johnson.
All right.
And they told me, hey, you know, in their opinion, this is a political issue, and I should continue with the project. So I continued down the path of the project. And had Kamala Harris won, the LNG business out of the U.S. would be over. So it was a really interesting phenomenon, you know, of how the president came about and started saying, you know, energy independence and drill, baby, drill, and that it's our lever politically to use our resources to sort of build our bridges with other nations. And China's dependency on energy is what's really creating what I call this proxy war between what they're doing between Russia, North Korea, Iran, Kazakhstan, Algeria, because they're getting control of the energy because they need energy to fuel the manufacturing supply chain that they have. And without energy, they can't continue down that road.
Let me ask you an elementary question.
Sure.
Just, and you can give a short answer, but I just so I understand, I covered a shale and all, fracking and all of that pretty thoroughly. Well, I'm not an expert, but I did with the Wall Street Journal reporter. Mm. And so I learned about liquefied natural gas. Is that a separate thing, or does that come out of fracking?
It comes out of fracking. So
okay.
fracking is gas that's coming out, and usually it's crude that's coming out, and the off gas is gassing, and they're putting gas pre-treated into a pipe. And the pipe, our pipe network, because we were a net importer of natural gas. So we brought in LNG into Texas, and then we spread gas throughout the whole United States through an existing pipeline that was built. So when we found shale, the pipes just basically turned around, and we started exporting that gas. But to export that gas, we have to liquefy it. And it liquefies at minus 260 degrees Fahrenheit. So we have to freeze it. But freeze it very, very cold. And it compresses 634 cubic meters to one. So it compresses very well. It transports extremely well. And then on the other side, when a ship arrives with this gas, it regasifies the liquid into gas, and it goes into their existing pipe network. So it's a fuel that moves very economically.
Yes, amazing.
And it has, our U.S. gas has 42% less carbon than any Qatari gas or any other gas that's around the world. So for Europe to get to decarbonization or have an impact, all they have to do is switch to American gas. And they reduce by 42%.
Okay, just another question so I can
sure
get my knowledge in order here. So fracking was it ever outlawed? I know that Kamala and Joe Biden wanted it outlawed, but what happened to the liquid natural gas industry here in fracking when they were in power?
So what happened was when this pause took place, what it did was there were a lot of companies that were on the road to building these facilities.
In the U.S.
In the U.S. And there is another problem to it, because the Biden administration was pushing Mexico factories to be built. And these factories are really expensive. So, like, it's about $1,000 a ton to $1,400 a ton to build, which is, say, on our factory, it's about $20 billion investment. And it employs thousands of people. And what Joe Biden was doing was pushing these facilities into Mexico.
And that is turning the shale into liquid natural gas.
So
that's the factory.
Right. So what he was doing was he was pushing that this gas, our American gas, would be sold very cheap to Mexico, frozen in Mexico, loaded on ships in Mexico, and sent around the world. We would lose not only the jobs, high-paying U.S. jobs. We would lose the manufacturing of the facility, and we would sell our gas to the cheapest Mexican buyers available.
Why didn't that happen?
Because the Sinaloa cartel came into a couple of them, and as the cartels got strength, they wouldn't allow the pipelines to be built without a quid pro quo.
Oh, isn't that funny? I'm sorry, that's just so... That's really funny. It's so ironic.
The whole business became ironic, and it really needed President Trump to come in and right-size the ship, because it needs a leader. And with Chris Wright, Secretary Wright, who comes out of the gas business, and with Secretary Bergamon coming out of North Dakota, we see some really strong leadership coming into the energy business to help right-size this ship. And what a U.S. needs to do is exactly what the president says. We need to be energy independent, but we also need to supply energy to countries of shared values.
Yeah. Yes, because it builds our relationship with them, no question. And in fact, is Russia still getting their energy from China?
So Russia is selling their energy to China and India. And I was in India a week and a half ago when Modi was in D.C. and he was saying, I'm going to go buy LNG from America. I was actually in the shows meeting with all of Modi's government-owned companies and being told that we're really not interested in American LNG. So on one hand, he's telling the president that we're looking to buy LNG. And on the other hand, all of his corporate government companies were telling us, Americans, we're really not. Now, India has capacity for regasification of about 44 million tons right now. They're going to 77 million tons. They have 27 million tons of imported LNG currently, of which only 6 million tons are American LNG. The balance is coming out of Russia. So Russian LNG is being shipped by dark ships into India, and everybody knows that we're tracking these dark ships. So India has to decide which side of the fence they're on. And what I tell the Indians is the only thing you get from sitting on a fence is a sore ass. But as soon as you wake up, you got to pick a side. And it's either America or Russia or China.
Well, we're having a conversation with Jonathan Bass, who's the chairman and founder of Argent LNG. And now I finally know what LNG is, liquid natural gas. And you can hear that he is very knowledgeable. He did speak on the stage at CPAC. So he wouldn't be there if he didn't know a lot. And now that I've talked to him, I understand that. So we're talking about India, and we'll come back to that right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift for preborn to save babies in a bigger way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor preborn's entire network for 24 hours. It will help rescue 200 babies. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com slash Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And of course, if you don't have that kind of money, then just give what you can. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Okay, so we're sitting on Radio Row at CPAC, and I delightfully meet someone new to me. It's Jonathan Bass. He's the chairman and founder of Argent LNG. Knows about worldwide oil production, liquid natural gas. We're having a great conversation, and we morphed into discussing India. And India, just a few years ago, I was told by national security experts that they had their economy had grown so much that they were becoming a partner with us, really kind of to neutralize our tension with China. And so it was interesting to me to hear that things have changed since I was kind of briefed on that particular situation. So we go back to China, and then Jonathan finishes out with what the future is from his perspective on this whole business of liquid natural gas. So back to CPAC Media Row. Here we go. You know, I thought India was a firm ally. Of course, a lot has changed in the Biden years. So the last I heard, they were becoming a strong ally, becoming very powerful, producing, and you know, that they were becoming a really strong partner to us.
So they appear to be, you know, there's certain countries where the president is correct. There are countries that really take advantage of the goodness of American hearts. And India is one that plays on the tip of the fence. And I would say that India is doing business with Iran, strong ties with Iran.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Strong ties with Russia and strong ties with China.
That's not a friend.
Not a friend.
So is that recent?
Yes. I mean, as of last week when I was in Delhi, I would be waiting for my meetings and the Russians are coming out.
But by recent, I'm asking if it was during the Biden administration that this all happened.
So the president had made a lot of headway with India.
Yeah.
And
Trump.
President Trump made a lot of headway with India. And then the Indians decided to lean in to saying, hey, you know, things have changed with America. And BRICS started to become a push from the Indians. And the reason why BRICS is so dangerous is BRICS circumvents the ability for American sanctions to actually work. Because if you don't have a U.S. dollar currency or through SWIFT, you can't implement sanctions throughout the world market. And so India is looking to, hey, we don't want to be subject to American sanctions for buying Russian, you know, LNG or crude oil or buying military equipment from Iran. We want to have our own world currency that the U.S. doesn't have control over. So the battle between BRICS and what the president, what President Trump said, is that we'll have zero tolerance to any country that signs up for BRICS. It's part of this whole puzzle that we're dealing with in the world order.
You know what you're helping to explain, whether you meant to or not, was how complicated President Trump is looking at the world. He sees the puzzle pieces. He's got an amazing mind. And nothing is as simple as it seems. And just on the issue of energy you're describing here, he's got all of these pieces in his head. It's not just energy, it's national security. It's, you know, all the things that you have to factor in. It's complicated. Here you are trying to sell your energy to Turkey, or your LNG to Turkey. Has that been approved yet, or are you still in process?
So the reason we wanted to sell LNG to Turkey was really to move supply chain into Turkey, because I believed that energy is the foundational brick to any economy being able to manufacture. So to be able to decouple or de-risk our supply chain out of China, we needed countries that knew how to do manufacturing, but also had the energy supply in which to fill our bandwidth of our country's needs and the world's needs for product. And so energy is that first foundational brick within it. But Turkey isn't the only thing. And really what I believe we have to go back and look at, and I implore the administration, is that we have to go back and look at taking the WTO and blowing it up and going back to the quota system that we had before. And in fact, Nancy Pelosi was against the WTO, China's entry into the WTO, and she is for the quota system. And the quota system allows us, U.S. and Western countries, to invest soft dollars, or Walmart dollars, into countries of shared values and build relationships. So instead of giving them what I call a fish, we're giving them a fishing pole. And by giving these countries fishing poles, we create allies, long-term relationships that will withstand the swells of the ocean.
But let me ask you something, Jonathan, because I'm just curious. Sure. I don't know that I would say Turkey has shared values with us. The people might, but Erdogan doesn't. But there must be a benefit beyond that. I do think we need a strong relationship with them. They're key in a lot of other ways. They're part of NATO. So is there more? Are you thinking more than just
Turkey,
like building some kind of a tie that would prevent them from doing some bad things?
The thing with Turkey is, on the people, you really have a third, a third, a third. Just like Arizona, certain parts of Arizona, you have a third Democrat, independent, and Republican. You have the same issue in Turkey. You have a third that are very conservative, religious, and you have a third that are liberal and open to, you know, women not wearing headscarves, women getting educated. So you have the same issue. Right now, Turkey is being led by Erdogan, who really, under the Biden administration, prior to the Biden administration, we had worked on creating a pipeline between Israel and Turkey for gas as another option to reducing the blood supply to the heart of the Iranian regime. The Biden administration did not really help create and foster that relationship. It ended up that I worked between the Israelis and the Turks to create the meeting between Netanyahu and Erdogan, which took place in New York. From there, Netanyahu and Erdogan was going to travel to Israel with the Minister of Energy in December of 23. And I was in Istanbul on October 6, arranging that visit between them. So what happened from October 7th on, and what unleashed Erdogan's madness, was his icing by the Blinken and Biden administration. You have an army of 1.5 million people sitting on the border of a very bad neighborhood, and you're telling him he doesn't have a seat at the table. And what he said to them was, if you don't put me in a seat at the table, I'm going to create my own table. And that's what he did. So he went off the rails. And it was bad diplomacy. It was bad, bad diplomacy.
Like Ukraine and Russia and other kinds of bad diplomacy we've seen in the last 4 years. Mostly bad diplomacy. Nightmare diplomacy, really.
But I'll tell you, energy fixes. The dependency on energy has a lever in our foreign policy.
I believe that.
So the examples you can see is Egypt and Jordan. Egypt and Jordan have been very quiet on the Israeli-Gaza issue because they get their natural gas supply from Israel to keep the lights on in Egypt and Jordan.
Isn't that something?
So this dependency on energy has an impact on the way you vocalize the street,
sure,
that the chair vocalizes to the street. So there, President Trump is exactly on target, that we need to use our resources in areas of the world that we create bridges and we create friends of shared values.
That makes tremendous sense. It really does, John. You and I could talk forever. Maybe we can talk again.
Absolutely.
Is there anything other point you wanted to make that I didn't let you make?
No.
Okay.
I think we all need to support on both sides, the left and the right.
Yeah.
Yes, coal is the enemy. Not coal isn't the enemy of the U.S. Clean coal from America is better than dirty coal from China. The one last thought I'd like to leave you with is that since the pause in last February, the Chinese government was able to use the Biden administration's pause to sell 1,600 coal fire plants in 61 countries around the world. So as much as John Kerry wants to talk about his green mission to balance out that 1,600 coal fire plants in 61 countries and the dirty coal from China that they utilize takes a lot more than just a ship of LNG that they wanted to shut down. So the impact that this president did is similar to what the impact that, a president who just passed away did in Iran. We suffered for 45 years of an Iranian regime because of Jimmy Carter. We will suffer 45 years from this moment of the pause, and the only way that we can fix this is by quickly jumping in and correcting these errors that the last administration has made into the future.
Well, I hope you get a chance to make that case. You spoke here at CPAC, right?
Yes.
So there are lots of people listening to you, so I'm sure that
I'm assuming you have a
voice at the White House. I hope you do.
I hope I do as well.
Okay. All right, Jonathan
Thank
Best.
Thank you, Sandy.
Again, Chairman and CEO of Argent Liquefied Natural Gas, LNG. I'll get it right the next time we talk.
Thank
it's so
you,
nice
Sandy.
To
Very
meet
nice
you. God
meeting.
Bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Okay, wasn't that delightful? As heavy a topic as it is, it was very interesting, I think. And I would just encourage all of you, as I try to really do in my own life, to never stop learning. Somehow in the United States, we grew up in a system that once you graduate from school, your learning is over. And that's just, our founders certainly didn't feel that way. They learned French, astronomy, physics. They were always learning some new discipline. And so I think that's important. Now, I'm not advocating you become a physicist or an expert, but I think just read and become broader and not so narrow in your understanding. Don't squander that great brain that God has given you just because you're not in school, so that you can speak about a lot of things, talk to your children, so that your conversations are more than what you had for lunch and what's happening, with neighbors. I mean that. I think get a bigger, larger view of life by continuing your learning. And I'd like to do my part by bringing you some shows that'll stretch your mind and cause us all to learn. There's one last thing I want to do because there was a tutorial, like a kid's explanation of what LNG, liquid natural gas is. And I think it's excellent. And I'm going to just close with that today, just to cement some of the things that Jonathan said so that we can have a better understanding, because this really is our future. It's going to be on the headlines and the discussions. It's going to be important between the world powers. It just shifts the world stage. Energy can do that. It shifts the balance of power just by who gets this right. So let's listen. Here you go. Okay, boys and girls, here's a tutorial for you and for me.
LNG, liquefied natural gas, LNG, is natural gas that has been cooled to at least minus 162 degrees Celsius to transform the gas into a liquid for transportation purposes. To understand why liquefying natural gas is important, we first need to understand natural gas's physical properties. Methane has a very low density and is therefore costly to transport and store. When natural gas is liquefied, it occupies 600 times less space than as a gas. Normal gas pipelines can be used to transport gas on land or for short ocean crossings. However, long distances and overseas transport of natural gas via pipeline is not economically feasible. Liquefying natural gas makes it possible to transport gas where pipelines cannot be built, for example, across the ocean. The four main elements of the LNG value chain are 1. Exploration and production, 2. Liquefaction, 3. Shipping, 4. Storage and regasification. At the receiving terminal, LNG is unloaded and stored before being regasified and transported by pipe to the end users. The demand for LNG is rising in markets with limited domestic gas production or pipeline imports. This increase is primarily from growing Asian economies and particularly driven by their desire for cleaner fuels and by the shutdown of nuclear power plants. The largest producer of LNG in the world is Qatar, with a liquefaction capacity in 2013 of roughly 1/4 of the global LNG production. Japan has always been the largest importer of LNG and in 2013 consumed over 37% of global LNG trade. The extraction process also has environmental and social issues to consider. LNG projects require large energy inputs for liquefaction and regasification, and therefore have associated greenhouse gas emissions. Spills pose concerns to local communities. There have been two accidents connected to LNG, but in general, liquefaction, LNG shipping, storage, and regasification have proven to be safe. LNG projects require large upfront capital investments, which can be a challenge in moving projects ahead. That's LNG.
All right, I hope you feel smarter. And just remember the things that you learned today. And before you go, I want to tell you about Timothy Plan, because we couldn't have these discussions if it weren't for their support. They teach you to put your money, your own money, where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Just visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.